Hello and welcome to the Zero to Finals podcast. My name is Tom, and this is the first part of the Endocrinology Short Answer Questions podcast. If you like these questions, you can find them in written format at members.zerotofinals.com, plus multiple choice questions, extended matching questions, digital flashcards, and a bunch of other resources to help you learn medicine and track your learning in preparation for your exams. Membership to the members site costs £9.60 a month, and you can cancel at any time, but I'm sure if you try it for 1 month, you'll be really happy with the resources that are there, and it will become your go-to resource for testing yourself and preparing for exams. But for now, let's get straight into these endocrinology questions. Question 1. What hormones are released from the anterior pituitary gland? Thyroid-stimulating hormone, adrenocorticotropic hormone, follicle-stimulating hormone, luteinizing hormone, growth hormone, and prolactin. Question 2. What hormones are released from the posterior pituitary gland? Oxytocin and antidiuretic hormone, or ADH. Question 3. What hormones are secreted and by what structures to stimulate the thyroid gland to release T3 and T4? The hypothalamus releases thyrotropin-releasing hormone, or TRH, which stimulates the anterior pituitary to release thyroid-stimulating hormone, which stimulates the thyroid gland to release T3 and T4. Question 4. What hormones are secreted and by what structures to stimulate the adrenal glands to release cortisol? The hypothalamus releases corticotropin-releasing hormone, or CRH, which stimulates the anterior pituitary to release adrenocorticotropic hormone, or ACTH, which stimulates the adrenal glands to release cortisol. Question 5. Which hormone stimulates the release of growth hormone? Growth hormone releasing hormone, or GHRH. Where is this produced? In the hypothalamus. Question 6. What primarily stimulates the release of parathyroid hormone by the parathyroid glands? A low serum calcium. Question 7. What are the main actions of parathyroid hormone? It increases the activity and the number of osteoclasts in bone, causing increased reabsorption of calcium from the bone. It stimulates calcium reabsorption in the kidneys and stimulates the kidneys to convert vitamin D3 into calcitriol, which is the active form of vitamin D, all of which increases the serum calcium level. Question 8. What secretes renin? The juxtaglomerular cells. Where are these cells found? In the afferent arterioles in the kidney. What promotes renin secretion? A low blood pressure in the afferent arterioles. Question 9. What is the action of renin? it converts angiotensinogen, which is released by the liver, into angiotensin 1. Question 10. What is the action of angiotensin converting enzyme? It converts angiotensin 1 to angiotensin 2. Where does this happen? In the lungs. Question 11. What is the action of angiotensin 2? It acts on blood vessels, causing vasoconstriction. It stimulates the release of aldosterone from the adrenal glands, and it contributes to cardiac remodeling by promoting hypertrophy of the heart muscle. Question 12. What is the action of aldosterone? It increases sodium reabsorption from the distal tubule. It increases potassium secretion from the distal tubule and increases hydrogen secretion from the collecting ducts. Question 13. What TSH and T4 results would you expect in primary hyperthyroidism? A low TSH and a high T4. Question 14. What TSH and T4 results would you expect in secondary hyperthyroidism? A high TSH and a high T4. Question 15. What TSH and T4 results would you expect in primary hypothyroidism? A high TSH and a low T4. Question 16. What TSH and T4 results would you expect in secondary hypothyroidism? A low TSH and a low T4. Question 17. What are the causes of primary hyperthyroidism? You can use the GIST mnemonic. G for Graves' disease, I for inflammation, meaning thyroiditis, S for solitary toxic thyroid nodule, and T for toxic multinodular goiter. Question 18. What antibodies result in Graves' disease? TSH receptor antibodies. Question 19. Which thyroid conditions might be associated with antithyroid peroxidase or anti-TPO antibodies? Graves' disease and Hashimoto's thyroiditis. Question 20. What term describes the eye bulging that's caused by Graves' disease? Exophthalmos. Question 21. What term describes a discolored, waxy, edematous appearance to the skin on the anterior aspect of the leg in patients with Graves' disease? Pre-tibial myxedema. Question 22. What term describes hand swelling and finger clubbing associated with Graves' disease? Thyroid acropathy. Question 23. What are the causes of thyroiditis? De Kervain's thyroiditis, Hashimoto's thyroiditis, postpartum thyroiditis, and drug-induced thyroiditis. Question 24. What is the first-line antithyroid drug for primary hyperthyroidism? Carbimazole. What are the two major side effects of this medication? Agranulocytosis and acute pancreatitis. Question 25. What is the second-line antithyroid drug for primary hyperthyroidism? Propylthiouracil. What is the major risk associated with this drug? Severe liver reactions. Question 26. What is the most common cause of hypothyroidism in the developed world? Hashimoto's thyroiditis. Question 27. What medications are particularly known to cause hypothyroidism? Lithium and amiodarone. Question 28. What condition where major postpartum hemorrhage causes avascular necrosis of the pituitary gland can cause hypopituitarism, including secondary hypothyroidism? Sheehan's syndrome. Question 29. What is the usual medical treatment for hypothyroidism? Oral levothyroxine. Question 30. What are the causes of Cushing's syndrome? You can use the CAPE mnemonic. C for Cushing's disease, which is a pituitary adenoma releasing excessive ACTH. A for adrenal adenoma, which is an adrenal tumor secreting excessive cortisol. P for paraneoplastic syndrome, where ectopic ACTH is released from a tumor somewhere other than the pituitary gland. And E for exogenous corticosteroids, meaning treatment with corticosteroids. Question 31. What is the underlying pathophysiology of Cushing's disease? A pituitary adenoma secreting excessive adrenocorticotropic hormone, or ACTH, which stimulates excessive cortisol release from the adrenal glands. Question 32. What dynamic function tests are used for Cushing's syndrome? The dexamethasone suppression tests. Question 33. What is the surgical approach to the removal of a pituitary adenoma that's causing endocrine disorders? A transsphenoidal approach through the nose. Question 34. What is the basic pathology causing Kohn's syndrome? An adrenal adenoma that's producing excessive aldosterone. What is the key presenting feature? A high blood pressure or hypertension. Question 35. What are the causes of secondary hyperaldosteronism? Renal artery stenosis, heart failure, and liver cirrhosis and ascites. Question 36. What is the basic pathophysiology of Addison's disease? The adrenal glands are damaged, resulting in reduced cortisol and aldosterone secretion. Question 37. What causes bronze hyperpigmentation in Addison's disease? An excessively high ACTH level, which stimulates melanocytes to produce melanin. Question 38. In patients with adrenal insufficiency, what results might be seen when measuring the blood pressure? A low blood pressure or hypotension. What about the serum sodium? A low serum sodium or hyponatremia. What about the serum potassium? A high potassium or hyperkalemia. What about the blood glucose level? A low blood glucose level or hypoglycemia. Question 39. What dynamic function test is used to test for adrenal insufficiency? The short synaxin test. Question 40. What medications may be used to replace the missing hormones in adrenal insufficiency? Hydrocortisone, a glucocorticoid, is used to replace cortisol, and fludrocortisone, which is a mineralocorticoid, is used to replace aldosterone if aldosterone is also insufficient. Question 41. What medication is most important in treating adrenal crisis? Intramuscular or intravenous hydrocortisone. Question 42. What is the classic triad of symptoms of hyperglycemia seen in type 1 diabetes? Polyuria, which is excessive urination, polydipsia, which is excessive thirst, and weight loss, which is mainly through dehydration. Question 43. Where is insulin normally produced? The beta cells in the islets of Langerhans in the pancreas. Question 44. What is the normal blood glucose concentration? (4.4 to 6.1 millimoles per liter). Question 45. Where is glucagon produced? In the alpha cells in the islets of Langerhans in the pancreas. Question 46. What is the action of glucagon? It increases the blood glucose levels by glycogenolysis, which is converting stored glycogen in the liver into glucose, and gluconeogenesis, which is converting proteins and fats into glucose. Question 47. What three criteria need to be met for a diagnosis of diabetic ketoacidosis? Hyperglycemia, for example, a blood glucose level above 11 millimoles per liter. Ketosis, for example, a blood ketone level above 3 millimoles per liter, and acidosis, for example, a pH below 7.3. Question 48. What are the initial medical treatments for diabetic ketoacidosis? IV fluids with added potassium and a fixed-rate insulin infusion. Question 49. What electrolyte needs particularly close monitoring when treating diabetic ketoacidosis? The serum potassium. Question 50. What gastrointestinal disorder are all patients with a new diagnosis of type 1 diabetes screened for? Celiac disease. Question 51. What is involved in a basal bolus regime for treating type 1 diabetes? Background long-acting insulin injected once a day plus short-acting insulin injected 30 minutes before consuming carbohydrates, for example at meals. Question 52. What complication can occur if repeatedly using the same site for injecting insulin? Lipodystrophy. What problem does this cause? Areas of lipodystrophy do not absorb insulin properly. Question 53. What does a HbA1c blood test measure and what does this represent? Glycated hemoglobin, which is how much glucose is attached to the hemoglobin molecule, and this represents the average blood glucose level over the previous 2 to 3 months. Question 54. What are the options for treating severe hypoglycemia where the patient has reduced consciousness? Intravenous dextrose and intramuscular glucagon. So thanks for listening to this episode of Questions on Endocrinology. This is part one. In the next episode, we'll be moving on to part two of the endocrinology short answer questions. As always, a big thank you to Harry Watchman for perfectly editing the podcast. And I'll see you in the next episode.